Are doing daf Samech Chamed Aleph, right? So where did we leave off yesterday? Two lines from the bottom. Okay. So what does the Gemara say? Two lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, if a person buys a new house, buys a new kelim, builds a new house, buys a new kelim, one recites a Shechianu. We begin with a somewhat technical discussion. The Gemara is going to discuss, when exactly do you recite these brachas? How exciting is it to get something new when you already have something just like it? And does it make a difference how you got that something just like it? What if you buy a new iPad, but you already have an iPad, the same exact one? Well, does it matter whether you got the first one Yerusha or you bought it? Do you say a Shechianu on the second one no matter what? So these are the issues we are going to discuss. So Rav Huna says, Lo Shanu L'Shein Lo Kiyotze Ben, you only say a Brach of Shechianu on a new item when you don't have something just like it already. Avol Yesh Lo Kiyotze Ben Ein Tzarich L'Varech, if you already have something just like it, then you don't need to say a Brach when you got your second one. Rabbi Yochanan Rafilu Yesh Lo Kiyotze Ben Tzarich L'Varech. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you already have something just like it, you still need to say a bracha. Mechlal, d'chikana v'chazer v'kana, d'vrei kalein tzarech l'varech. Ooh, if you already have one, but what if you already bought one and then you buy another one? Not just that you already had one. How do you have something if you didn't buy it? Had one means you got a birusha. The implication is, there's a machlokas. If I got one, first one birusha, then I bought a second one, machlokas whether I say a bracha. But if I bought the first one and then bought the second one, for sure I don't say a bracha on the second one. Because not only did I already have this item, I already had the experience of buying this item. So if I already had the experience of buying this item before, why would I there's no need to say a bracha when I do the same action again. The Ikada Army, and others say, no, that's not how the conversation went. It was Amrafunu Lo Shanu Ella Shalokana V'chazer V'kana. When do you recite a Shechianu? If you have not previously bought the item. If you have previously bought it, and then you buy it again, you do not say a brach of Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Afilu kana v'chazer v'kana tzarech levarich. A very different statement, Rabbi Yochanan says, that even if you have bought it in the past and now you're buying it again, you still say a bracha. Mechlal d'chiyesh lo v'kana divrei kol tzarech levarich. If the whole machlokas in the second version of the machlokas, the whole machlokas is about if you've bought it in the past and now you're buying it again, whether you say Shechianu, it sounds like everyone agrees that if you had it and now you're buying it, then for sure you say a bracha, because you never had the experience of buying it yet until this moment. Meisvei, so Gemara says, well, wait a second, it said in our Mishnah, Bana bayis chadash rein lo kiyotze, not in our Mishnah, our Braisa, Bana bayis chadash rein lo kiyotze bo, kana kelim chadash rein lo kiyotze bem. If you build a new house and you don't have one just like it, you buy new kelim and you don't have one just like it. Tzarich levarech, you do say a bracha, yesh lo kiyotze bem, but if you have something just like them, ain tzarich levarech, no need to say a bracha, divrei meir tzar meir shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ben kach tzarich levarech. Whether you have some, whether you have it already or don't have it already, you say a new bracha. Well, Bishlam Elishna Kamba, according, now keep in mind, Rav Huna, Rav Yochanan, who are those? Tanaim or Amoraim? Rav Huna, Rav Yochanan, Amoraim, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Tanaim. So if Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan are going to talk about the same topic that Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda spoke about, they better have at least one Tana that agrees with what they're saying, right? So that's the premise of this discussion. According to the first version of the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, it's perfect. Rav Huna k'Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan k'Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Huna aligns with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yochanan aligns with Rabbi Yehuda. Ela l'lishna basra. But according to the second version of the machlokas, where if you already have something but did not buy it, and then you bought it, everyone would agree you say a bracha. Well, Bishlam Rav Huna k'Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Huna aligns very nicely with Rabbi Yehuda. El Rabbi Yochanan damar kaman, Rabbi Yochanan, who would say that you say a bracha even if you've previously bought the item and then buy it again, is going like neither Tana, neither a Meir, nor Rabbi Yehuda say that when you buy something twice, you say a bracha. But here, Rabbi Yochanan does say that way. Lo k'Rabbi Meir, v'lo k'Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yochanan Everyone's going like nobody. Answers Gemara, no, Rabbi Yochanan would touch up that machlokas, or maybe Rabbi Yehuda slightly differently. Amalek Rabbi Yochanan, who had into Rabbi Yehuda, kind of chazav, kind of nami tzarech levarich. You know, when Rabbi Yehuda says, if you already have an item and then you buy it, you have to say a bracha, he would also say, if you bought an item and then you bought it, you'd have to say a bracha. Why does he only talk about a case where you had it and not where you did what? Why does he only talk about a case where you had it and not a case where you bought it? The reason they have this, we frame this machlokas about a case where you had it and then bought it, is to highlight just how strongly Reb Meir holds his shita. That even if you bought it and you had previously had it, Yerusha, you still don't have to say a bracha. And obviously, if you bought it twice, you wouldn't have to say a bracha. So ask the Gemara, okay, but instead of highlighting how strongly Rav Meir holds his opinion, why not do it the other way? Let them have their machlokas in the case where you buy it twice. And let us know that Rabbi Yehuda would say, even when you bought it twice, that you do say a bracha. So answers the Gemara, no, we'd rather highlight the chiddush of Rabbi Meir that you don't say a bracha, rather than the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda that you do say a bracha. You know why? Because koach de'atera adifle. We always prefer to highlight the koach of the one who is matir, of the more lenient position. Since Rabbi Meir is the more lenient position, he is the one that we want to emphasize. What's the logic? Why is koach de'atera adifle? The strength of being makel, of being lenient, is greater than the strength it takes to be strict. Because it's very easy to be strict. When you don't know, the safe way to go is to be strict. When you don't know, the safe way to go is not to be lenient. So, koach de'atera adifle. The problem is, if that's the svara, it doesn't really fit our Gemara. Because what do you do when you're not sure about a bracha? What's the safest thing to do when you're not sure about a bracha? Is to not say the bracha. Seven brachas lahakim. So the safest thing to do is actually to be lenient. Because if you're strict, just say the bracha. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Bracha levatala. You have a lot to lose. So the application of koach de'atera adifle in this context is very, very difficult. But anyway, the Gemara says it. So main point number one, we have two versions of a machlokas amorayim about saying shachianu on an item that you already have, either through Yerusha or through a purchase. Good. On we go. Now it gets easier. Mevarich al ra'ah. So we said that a person is supposed to make a bracha on bad even when it comes together with good. Hey chidani. What does this mean? Kigon de shakel batka ba'arei. Let's say a flood goes through your land. Avgav de tavahi le didei demaska ara sirtum de shivcha. You know, in the long run, you could see why that will be good. It will saturate the land. It will make for a better crop next year. But what did it do to this year's crop if a flood went through your land? What did it do? Destroyed it. You know, there are many people whose houses were destroyed in Hurricane Sandy, but they have much nicer houses than they had before because the insurance paid for them to have but at the time, it was destructive. It was a Diana MS. It wasn't a Tova Meitiv. Even though you see that in the long run, there may be some blessing in there, but in the short run, it was we recognize that it was Ra'a. V'ala Tova, Hechidami. And what's an example where something might turn out bad, but right now seems really good? Kigon Dashkach Metzia, you find a lost object. It could turn out bad because if the king hears about it, he might confiscate it from you. But Hashemi Atova, right now it's good news. You found something, so right now it's a boon. Famous Gemara. Rabbi Mori Slam, Zechron of Rach, once told me you should never say that something is a famous Gemara because there are likely people in the audience that have never heard it before, and you make them feel stupid. So Gemara that some people know, I don't know, but there's a good, here's this Gemara that some people know, that a person whose wife is pregnant, and he davens, let the baby be a boy, that is a wasted tefillah, that is a tefillah shav. asks the Gemara, why is it tefillah shofar? V'lo ma'ani rachmi. Does it not help to daven for something like that? Masiv Rav Yosef v'achar yolda bas v'tikra shma Dina. Pasuk says, and afterwards she had a daughter and she called it Dina. My v'achar, what's the achar in the pasuk? Amar Rav, v'achar shadana Leah din ba'atma. After Leah made the following cheshbin in her head, v'amren, she said to herself, Yud Beis Shvatim Asidin Latzeis Miyakob. We have a tradition that there will be 12 tribes that emerge from Jacob. Shisha Yatsu Mimani. 6 have already emerged from me. V'arba min Ashvachos. 4 have already come from the Shvachos. Harei Asara. 6 plus 4 is 10. Im Ze Zachar. If my next child is a boy, Lotei Achos Yirachu Kachas Ashvachos. There will not be enough children left over for my sister to have even as many as the Shvachos had. Miyad Nevcha Labas. Right away, the baby changed into a girl. Shenema Vatikra Shema Dina. But bottom line is, what do you see? That Leah prayed for the gender of the child to change after she was already pregnant, and it worked. So how come our Mishnah says it's a wasted tefillah? It says, Gemara, ein maskir ma'aseh nisim. We don't mention ma'aseh nisim. It's a different, ma'aseh nisim is different. What? What does that mean? How does that answer the question? So the way many Achronim understand this is that Leah was a tzadekes. She is allowed to daven for things like that. She can daven for a miracle because she has enough zuchuyos to warrant a miracle. We cannot daven for miracles. So, for example, I once had a shayla. A guy told me that he and his wife had both gone through genetic testing, and they were both found to be carriers of the Tay-Sachs gene. And she was pregnant at the time that they discovered this. They got tested before marriage, but the testing was faulty. So can they daven, while the tests are being done on the fetus, can they daven that the baby not have Tay-Sachs? So on the one hand, you would say, well, of course, you always got to daven. On the other hand, it either is or isn't. It's already determined. So can you daven for something like that, right?
Well, so, there's still always the chance the baby's going to be a nephil, so maybe you can in this case, because there's still a chance he wasn't going to survive in the first place.
So what, you should daven for that?
No, so maybe you can daven for something, because there's for anything in that
there's
case.
There's some other outcome that's possible.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. It's a difficult child. I asked a number of Gedolei Yisrael, and I got a number of different answers. V'iba Yisema, Maisa Deleia B'toch Arbaim Yom Hava, or the more famous answer, which is that Leah, when she prayed, it was within the first 40 days. Within the first 40 days, gender is not yet decided, so you can still pray. First 3 days, the person should daven that the semen not get spoiled, not get ruined. From day 3 to day 40, you could daven that it be a male, because that's not yet determined. From day 40 to 3 months, you should daven that it not become deformed. From 3 months to 6 months, that it should not be a miscarriage. From month 6 to month 9, you daven that everything should go smoothly. But does davening really work even within the first 40 days? If the man ejaculates before the woman ovulates, the baby is going to be a girl. If the woman ovulates first, the baby will be a boy. So isn't it determined already at the time of conception? 40 days? Where do you get 40 days? The time of conception, it's already determined. Shemar Ishak, he says, Revi Yelda Zachar. One of the Talmidim explained to me that they say that the X and the Y, that the what is it? The male one is the Y. That the Y chromosome, the sperm, tends to, to swim faster but die quicker. Whereas the X swims slower and lasts longer. So that's the explanation. That if the woman was already Masriya, right, beforehand, she's already ovulated, so then when the man is Masriya, the faster swimmers are going to likely impregnate her. Whereas if the woman was not yet Masriya at the time of the Tashmish, so that gives more time for the Ys to die, and the X's are still going to be there when the woman ovulates, and they'll still be able to impregnate her. So that's maybe the scientific explanation of this line of the Gemara. But bottom line is, it's determined at conception. It's not determined 40 days. So it says, no, we're talking about where it all happened at the same time, so we have no indicator whatsoever what the baby's going to be. Then you're allowed to daven within the first 40 days. But otherwise, you're not. Meaning, as long as there's the possibility that it could have happened at the same time, probably the Gemara is saying, then you're still allowed to daven within the first 40 days, because you don't know that it's already been determined. And if you don't know that it's already been determined, you can still daven for something like that. Hayy Baba, so main point number two. Two explanations why Leah was allowed to daven for gender of the baby, either because it was Maisa Nisim, she's allowed to daven for Nisim, or because it was within the first 40 days. So then the Mishnah said that if you're traveling on the road and you hear that there's some chaos happening in the city, you're not allowed to daven that it should not be in your house. One time, El Azakin was traveling with Shama called Tzvachabir, and he heard something terrible going on in the city. And he said, I am confident this is not happening in my house. And about him, the Pasuk says, that a person shouldn't be afraid of a Shmur Ra, he can trust in Hashem. This pasuk can be darshened forwards and backwards. Mereisha the sefer midrash can be darshened forwards as follows: Mishmua ra lo yira, don't be afraid of bad news. Matam, why not? Nachal niba b'toch Hashem. Someone who's calm can have bitachon, that gives him the calm to deal with, to ride any waves. Misafe the Rashi midrash could be darshan backwards as well. Nachal niba b'toch Hashem, that someone who has a sense of bitachon, mishmur ra'lo yira, that's a skula that he's not going to be shaken up from a shmur ra'a, because a person who has bitachon knows that everything's going to work out. There was a Talmud following behind Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi in the markets of Tzion. Chazia took a mafchid, and he saw that he was worried. Amarle chataat, you're a sinner if you're worried and you're anxious and you're nervous about something. It's a lack of bitachon to be worried. Amarle vaksiv ashayadam mafachi tamid. But there's a pasuk that says that fortunate and praiseworthy is one who's constantly worried. So how can you tell me that I'm a sinner if I'm worried? Amarle haubidivay torah ksiv. Worry is good when you're worried about forgetting your Torah. When you worry about everything else, it's not good. Yehuda bar Nasan have a shagul vazel basayid Rav Amnuna. Yehuda bar Nasan was walking by Rav Amnuna, asnach, and he sighed. Oy, amar le yisurim ba'i ha'u gavar la'siya nafshei. What, are you trying to make bad things happen to you? Dichsev ki pachad pachadati v'yasani asher yagarti yavali. When I have pachad, that's when that which I am nervous about comes upon me, happens to me. Didn't we say it's good to worry? That's only about Divrei Torah. So main point number three, it is a lack of bitachon to worry too much about anything except for Divrei Torah. In general, when one has a very negative attitude towards things, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. When one thinks everything is terrible, everything actually becomes terrible. Ayin in everything Mr. Mark ever said. Positive psychology. Good. Says the Gemara. Hanichlas l'krach. Someone comes into a city, so he should daven that everything should be okay. Tan Rabbanan. So the Brisa elaborates. Bikni sasa mahu omer. What do you daven when you go into a city? You daven as follows. Yiras alufnach Hashem elokai. May it be your will, Hashem. Shtach misen l'krach zel shalom. That Hashem enter the city in peace. Nichnas. Once you've entered, omer, don't forget to say thank you. Thank you, Hashem, for bringing me here in peace. A lot of times people daven when they're desperate, but they forget to say thank you when Hashem makes everything go okay. You know, we remember to complain sometimes when things don't go okay, but we got to say thank you when things do go okay. Bikesh Lotzeis, if a person wants to leave, Omer, you should say, may it be your will, God, that I should leave in peace. Yotza, once he already left, Omer, thank you, Hashem. And just like I left in peace, my travels to the next city should also be in peace and nothing should happen to me. This is only in a city where they do not judge people before they kill them. Aval bekrach shedonin v'hargin bo leslan ba. No such prayers are necessary in a place where there is justice. You don't have to worry that anybody's going to do anything to you in a place where there is justice. Igadamri, Amr of Masafil Bakrach Shadan Vahargan Bo, Zimin Dilomasrami Layinish Dial Plaisuchusa. Now, even in a place where there is justice, you still have to worry that maybe you're not going to find a good lawyer. So you could still suffer even though there may be justice in town. Tan Rabbanan, once we spoke about the proper prayer to say on the way into and out of a city, we talk about the proper prayers to say on the way into and out of other places. Tan Rabbanan, Nichlas Beis Amerchatz Omer, Yirasam V'nach Hashem L'kai Shtatzileni Miz U'michayotzebo. When a person enters a bathhouse, he should say, Hashem, save me from this and from similar experiences. V'al Yerabi Dvar Kol Kol V'yavon, don't let anything terrible happen to me, and don't let me sin. V'im Yerabi Dvar Kol Kol V'yavon, te'im Yisasi Kapar L'chol V'nosai. And if I do sin while I am in the bathhouse, let my death be a kapara for all my sins. Amar Abayin, lo le'me inishachi, you don't want to say something like that. You don't want to be so negative because you don't want to open the mouth to the Satan. You're giving the Satan ideas. You're like, oh, if I die in this bathhouse, Satan's like, what? Die bathhouse? Oh, okay, didn't think of that. Don't open up a mouth to the Satan. Amr of Yosi Mikra, what's the pasuk? Tchsev kimat kistoma yinu lamora diminu. They say we were like Stom and Amora. My adul Navi, what's the Navi's response? Shimu dvar Hashem katzine Sodom. Right away, he refers to them as people of Sodom. Kinafik my Omer, when you leave the bathhouse, what do you say? Amr of Acha, you say the following. Modani l'vnach Hashem l'kai sheitzaltani minor. Thank you, Hashem, for saving me from the fire of the bathhouse. Good, Rabbi Avo, all the Beibani. One time Rabbi Avo went into the bathhouse. Ifchis Beibani Mitzusei. The way it used to work was they had boiling hot water on the floor of the bathhouse. You could burn your feet if you stepped in it. So they had a platform that was built above the water where you would step on these boards so you didn't burn yourself and you didn't get killed from the heat of the water. So he was walking in the bathhouse and that platform caved in. Miraculously, he happened to have been right on one of the pillars that the platform had rested, so he didn't fall in. With one arm, he was able to hold on to 101 people who otherwise would have fallen in, and he saved them by pulling them all up with one arm. Amar Hainu Rabbi Acha, and he said, this is exactly the lesson that Rabbi Acha had taught us. Now we take out the Dalit, because the next statement of Rabbi Acha has nothing to do with this. It's an independent statement. I mean, this is going back on the last statement of Rabbi Acha. What was the last statement of Rabbi Acha? Yeah, they should thank Hashem for being saved in the bathhouse. So now, new statement. Amar Rabbi Acha, nichnas lakiz dam. If a person goes to do bloodletting, Omer should say, that let this be a refuah for me. Vatarapeni, ki kel rofe nemonata, urefuas chemes. You should give me a refuah because you are a God of healing. And your refuels are all true. If he shame darkness of the other narapos, so the shenagu. Really, we shouldn't have to go to doctors. Hashem should we should rely on Hashem. But the minig is we go to doctors. Amr Rabbi lo leme inish hachi. A person shouldn't say that. The Tani Dvei Rabbi Shmuel verapo yirapei, because the Dvei Rabbi Shmuel taught the double expression verapo yirapei teaches us mikan shenitna rishus l'rofe l'rapos, that the doctor is allowed to heal. We shouldn't view that as a negative thing that we go to doctors. Ki kai mai omer. When you get up from bloodletting, what do you say? Amar Rav Acha, Baruch Rofei Chinam. Blessed is he who heals us for free. Last main point, the Gemara lists what one should say on the way in and out of a city, a bathhouse, and bloodletting.